Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Pastor Tim with Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas. It's great to be with you once again. Thanks for joining us. It's Wednesday, April 10th, and it's time for your midweek Bible study. Today, we're studying Hebrews 11, verses 21 to 40, and we're going to talk about examples of faith, part 2. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you for this amazing opportunity once again. Lord, week after week, you are faithful to allow us to gather. We're just so excited to be learning from you. Teach us again about these great examples of faith in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen and Amen. In last week's study, the writer gave us examples of faithful obedience leading to God's blessings. Those cases were mostly general, where a willingness to trust God was weighed against an uncertain future. In today's passage, however, we're shown men and women who chose to trust God despite immediate personal hardships. This, as well, is a crucial aspect of faith, which the writer has already defined as a confident trust in God. Before we begin with verse 21, I want to review with you verse 20 from last week. So open up your Bible or Bible app to Hebrews 11, starting with verse 20, and let's review very quickly. Verse 20 reads, "It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons Jacob and Esau." Now, when we talked about this last week, we identified the patriarch in this verse as Isaac. And the writer says, it was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. Because of deception, Isaac blessed Jacob, the younger son, instead of Esau. But this would have occurred anyway, and I think we lose track of that, for this was God's plan all along. God chose the younger son, Jacob, to continue the fulfillment of his promise to Abraham. Now on to verse 21. Verse 21 reads, "It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff." The question is, what did Jacob do by faith, and why was that important? Isaac had blessed Jacob and Esau. Jacob's sons had become the fathers of Israel's 12 tribes. When he was old and dying, Jacob believed the promise to Abraham and blessed all of his sons, but also two of his grandsons, each of Joseph's sons. Their names were Ephraim and Manasseh. As was with Isaac's case, Jacob blessed Ephraim and Manasseh out of order. Ephraim received the first blessing even though he was the youngest. But again, this was God's plan. This blessing was directed by God. Next up, 22, it reads, "It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left." The question is, why was Joseph's faith so confident? Joseph's life, as I'm sure you're aware, is one of trial and tragedy. But what man meant for evil, God meant for good. Joseph's faithfulness to God was rewarded many times over and culminated with him reconciling with his family, whom he brought to live near him. Joseph believed in God wholeheartedly. He believed God's promise that the people of Israel would leave Egypt and return to Canaan. In fact, he was so sure of that, he even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left so he could be buried in the promised land. Now, like Isaac, Joseph gave these instructions when he was about to die. Even on his deathbed, Joseph persevered in his faith, looking forward to the promise God had made. Verse 23 is next. It says, "It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command." The question is, Moses' parents faced quite a dire dilemma. What was the key to how they handled the situation? Right away, the writer lists Moses' parents as great people of faith. Through their faith, they recognized that God's hand was on Moses and that he was, as it said, an unusual child. Moses' parents disobeyed the king by faith, not being afraid of what the king might do to them if he discovered that they had been hiding their child for 3 months. Pharaoh had commanded that all the male children born to the Hebrew slaves be killed. God used these parents' courageous act to place their son, the Hebrew of his choice, in the house of Pharaoh. Next, let's look at verses 24 and 25. "It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin." The question here is, how was Moses' great faith shown in these verses? His great faith was shown through his difficult decision. Through God's providence, Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter as a member of Pharaoh's own household. Although Moses had been given a great Egyptian education, wealth, and status, he rejected this heritage and chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses knew he could not participate in a comfortable and easy life while his fellow Hebrews were enslaved. Because of his faith, Moses knew that earthly comfort was not the ultimate purpose for his life. Next, I'd like to look at verses 26 and 27 together. They read, "He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible." Question is, in these verses, Moses continues to show extraordinary faith. What did he do? Moses' great secret was that he looked ahead to the fulfillment of God's promises. Moses illustrated that faith requires individuals to put their own desires aside for the sake of Christ. He was motivated by looking ahead to his great reward. Since this reward would come from his Lord, Moses was willing to suffer for the sake of Christ. Although Moses did not personally know Jesus Christ, Moses suffered for the sake of doing God's will and for the sake of proclaiming God's way of redemption to the Hebrews. So this passage speaks of Moses suffering for the sake of Christ. Because God's history of salvation and redemption continued until Christ, Moses' suffering is linked to the cause of Christ. Rather than make Egypt and this world his home, Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Beloved, by faith, Moses was certain of what he could not see. I hope that we can say the same. Verse 28 is next. "It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons." Here's the question. This verse shows yet another demonstration of Moses' faith. What's going on here? Moses' faith encouraged him to be God's spokesman to the Hebrews. Through this faith, Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover. This incident occurred as the last of a series of plagues that devastated Egypt. The Hebrews followed God's instructions given through Moses to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. The blood was from the lamb that was slain as part of the Passover meal. That night, the firstborn son of every family who did not have the blood on the doorposts was killed. The lamb had to be killed in order to get the blood that would protect them. This is a foreshadowing of the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, who gave his blood for the sins of all people. Next is verse 29. "It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned." The question is, what is the next example of faith in this verse? The people of Israel, do you see that? The people of Israel are the next example of faith. It was by faith that they went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. The sight of the Red Sea parting and the requirement to walk into the seabed between those walls of water, it must have been terrifying. But through Moses' leadership and their own faith, the people of Israel walked ahead and were delivered from Egypt. As the people of Israel went through the Red Sea, the Egyptians followed, but not in faith. As a result, all the soldiers drowned. This example of the Egyptians would be a warning for those who considered drifting from Christ. God severely punishes those who don't live by faith in him. Those who walk in faith, even into seas of difficulty, will find that their faith will be rewarded. Verse 30 is next. "It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down." Here's the question. What is the next example of faith as shown in this verse? For more context, I would encourage you to read the entire account of this that's found in Joshua chapter 6. The command to march around the city for 7 days, it must have seemed ridiculous, but the people believed God and followed his instructions. Their faith encouraged them to obey God. When they obeyed God, they won the victory. Verse 31 is next. It says, "It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." Question, how do you explain this example of faith? When Joshua planned the conquest of Jericho, he sent spies to investigate the fortifications of the city. The spies met Rahab, who hid them. It might seem a bit strange that Rahab is in this hall of faith, if you will, because she was a Gentile, she's also a prostitute. But she demonstrated her faith in God by welcoming the spies and trusting God to spare her and her family when the city would be destroyed. Rahab's faith was rewarded, and she and her family were saved. Even more important, She becomes an ancestor of Jesus. We read about her name in Matthew 1, verse 5. She was the mother of Boaz. Despite her past sins, Rahab's faith is contrasted with those who refuse to turn to God and obey. Next up, let's look at verses 32 through 35. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith from Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from the dead. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Here's the question. Listed here are a few of the many Old Testament heroes of faith. Who are they, and how did they show their faith in the Lord? Well, let's go back and take a look. Who's the first one you see? That's right, his name is Gideon, one of Israel's judges. He was known for conquering a Midianite army with only 300 men who were armed with trumpets and jars. You can read about that in Judges 6, 11 through chapter 8, verse 35. The next name we see is Barak. He served with Deborah, another judge of Israel, in conquering the army of General Sisera from Hazor, Judges 4, verses 4 through 23. Samson is next, and yes, this is the same Samson you might be thinking of, but yet he was another judge. He was also a mighty warrior against God's enemies, the Philistines. Again, in Judges, read chapters 13 through 16. Jephthah was next, still another judge, delivered Israel from the Ammonites, Judges 11, verses 1 to 33. David, clearly you know his name, the beloved king of Israel, and a great warrior, brought peace to Israel, defeating all of his enemies. And finally, the last name mentioned there is Samuel, the last judge of Israel. He was very wise and a tremendous leader. He was also a prophet. Samuel, along with all the prophets, served God selflessly as they conveyed God's words to an often rebellious people. So what did all these people have in common? Have you thought about that? They all believed in God, that's what. They all demonstrated that faith can accomplish a lot. Look at these verses. It says, they overthrew kingdoms. Throughout their years in the Promised Land, the Israelites had great leaders who brought victory against their enemies. People such as Joshua, all of the judges, and King David were great warriors. It also says in our text, they ruled with justice. Many of the judges, as well as leaders such as Nehemiah, administered justice to the people. It says they also received what God had promised. Some people actually did see the fulfillment of some of God's promises, such as possession of the promised land. It says they quenched the flames of fire. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were kept from harm in the furious flames of a fiery furnace. It also says next, they escaped death by the edge of the sword. Elijah and Jeremiah had this very experience. Next, their weakness was turned to strength. Hezekiah was one who regained strength after sickness. And it also says they became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. This refers to Joshua, one of many of Israel's judges, King Saul, and King David. Lastly, it says some even received their loved ones back again from death. The widow from Zarephath received her son back from death because of Elijah, and so did a Shunammite woman through Elisha. Folks, we too can experience victory through faith in Christ. We have many experiences similar to those of the Old Testament saints. More likely, though, our victories will be directly related to the role God wants us to play. Your life may not include the kinds of dramatic events recorded here, but it surely includes moments where faith is tested. Give testimony to those moments, publicly and honestly, and thereby encourage the faith of others. While the above examples mentioned great victory, there is a victory that may not seem so. Other believers were tortured, refusing to turn from God, it said. These faithful people experienced the blessings and endured persecution because they placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. These people lived by faith because they knew that gaining the world and achieving the world's success was not their objective. They waited for a better life that would begin after death. This promise of a better life encouraged them during a persecution and other difficulties. Next is verses 36 through 38. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. Here's our question. According to these verses, many Christians were persecuted and punished in at least six different ways for their faith. Can you identify what those six ways are? Well, first, it says they were jeered at, like Elisha, Nehemiah, and Jeremiah. Next, it said they were cut open with whips, like Jeremiah. They were chained in prisons, like Joseph, Samson, Hanani, and Jeremiah. They died by stoning, like Zechariah. You know, it's reported that he was stoned by Jewish Egyptians because he denounced their idolatry. They were sawed in half, like Isaiah, presumably. I say presumably because we don't know for sure exactly what happened, but tradition says that the prophet Isaiah was sawed in half at the command of King Manasseh because Isaiah had predicted the destruction of the temple. Isaiah escaped at first and hid in the trunk of a tree while in the hill country, but Manasseh found him and supposedly had the tree sawed in half with Isaiah in it. And lastly, they were killed with the sword. Although some prophets did escape death by the sword, others did not. Beloved, many of God's followers who lived before Christ and many who have lived after Christ have been persecuted. Their clothing was the skins of sheep and goats, and many faced being destitute and oppressed and mistreated. Some had to wander and hide in the wilderness. But despite their difficult lot, the writer of Hebrews claims that they were too good for this world. These people were great men and women of faith. Verse 39 is next. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God has promised. The question is, what does the writer mean that while these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, none of them received all that God promised? You know, we've studied this very issue before a couple of sessions ago. These people, do you see where it says that? These people, they refer to all the people we just spent several verses talking about and those alluded to, and they all received God's approval. Why? Because of their faith. They looked forward to a better day and salvation. Of course, they saw some of God's promises fulfilled, but not the promises that referred to the new covenant and the promised eternal kingdom. These people didn't live to see the kingdom arrive, but their future citizenship was secure there, so they were able to endure suffering. And now our last verse for the day, verse 40. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Our last question today is this. What is the something better the writer mentions here, and what is its effect? The something better that God has in mind, it refers to the new covenant. The forefathers did not receive this. Instead, it is expected by those who live after the death and resurrection of Christ, for he is the one who introduced the new covenant and the new promises. There is solidarity among believers that Old and New Testament believers will receive the prize together. Not only are we one in the body of Christ with all those alive, but we are also one with all those who ever lived. One day all believers will share in the promised blessing of Christ. We will then be complete and perfect in him. Amen for that. Beloved, this brings us to the end of today's study, Hebrews 11, verses 21 to 40. I hope this has been encouraging to you as we've once again studied great examples of faith. Next week, we're going to jump into chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 to 13, and we're going to talk about how God's discipline proves his love. Thanks again for taking time to be with us today. What an amazing time to be with you. Such a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day and week. God bless you. We'll see you right back here next time. Go in peace. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for another encouraging message from God's Word. To find out more about our ministry, look us up on the web at www.whccnb.org. Word of Hope Christian Church, real people, a real God, real hope.